Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. I have a really interesting shiur prepared for tonight. I'm very excited. I'm always excited. But sometimes when it's like uncovering the secrets of Torah and making connections, I'm even more excited. So I'm very excited about tonight's shiur. I welcome everybody back. We have three sponsors for tonight's shiur, Tizkun Mitzvos Lema'asim Tovim. So I'm just giving the information in the order that I received the information for dedication. Laura Huberfeld, who is actually unable to join the Zoom this evening, is sponsoring L'Zecher Nishmas, her mother-in-law, Rivka Bat Avraham Tzvi, Alaha HaShalom, who is Nifteris this month. The Shloshim is next Shabbos. She was buried in Eretz Yisrael, Zocha Tekvura and Har HaMenuchos. Laura wrote that you should be a Militza Yasher from the entire family, along with Pinchas ben Moshe Aaron, Alav HaShalom, her the husband who predeceased her, who she joins in the Olam HaEmes. They were married for 63 years, and they were apart for the last 4 years since his passing. May the Nesham of Rivka Bat Avram Tzvi merit an Aliyah Nesham and the Zchus of the Torah that we will share this evening. From Shana Adler. She wrote, and I quote verbatim, "We dedicate tonight's shiur in the zchut of our grandchild, Shlomo ben Saradina, who has come a long way from when his treatments began 1 year ago to be exact, with tremendous hakar satov to Hashem for watching over him, Rafana Kelna. May he continue to grow in strength and health with Arichos Yamim Veshanim. Amen." You should just know that I say his name, my lachter is behind me. I say his name every Shabbos when I bench lecht for a refuah. Our prayers extend to our children Sandy and Avi, who bear the brunt of it all. May they continue to have strength and stamina to continue their great work. We pray for all Yiddish kinder for all speedy recoveries. Thank you very much. So may Shlomo ben Saradina merit a continued refuah, arichus yamim v'shanim. May he be a source of nachas as he grows to his entire family. And finally, a special sponsorship as well. It is the one-year yahrzeit of the special neshama that was born and taken back to the Olam HaNeshamos quickly. And that special neshama was the impetus for this entire shiur. It's the one-year yahrzeit since that tragedy for the family that led to so much Torah that came to this world. So, Abba Ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to continue learning with good health and only smachot for all. Okay, so we have a very interesting shiur. I hope you're excited because I'm excited. So I'm going to start on my handout actually so you could see where we are up to. Here we go. Okay, so we're doing this Mishnah. Actually, I like to make it bigger for you so it's easier for you to see on my screen. Okay, can you see my screen? Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, I mean, this is a Pirkei Avos shiur and it's Parshas Korach, so for me, sort of the obvious choice was, Kol machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim, sofa l'hitkayim, any machlokas, quarrel, strife, dissent, argument, disunity, that is for the sake of heaven, in the end it will endure. V'she'enu l'shem shamayim, and any machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven, ein sofa l'hitkayim, in the end it will not endure. Ezehi machlokas shehi l'shem shamayim, and now the Mishnah tells you, what is an example of a machlokas that is for the sake of heaven that will endure? Zo machlokas hilo b'shamay. This is a machlokas of hilo and shamay. When we talk about the discussions of hilo and shamay, the machlokas of hilo and shamay, it endures till this day, 2,000 years later. We are still studying what they debated. The Hanukkah candles, how you dance before the Kala, the whole person in the sukkah, half the person in the sukkah to be yotzei. Whatever they debated, we're still debating today in our Bate Midrashos and in the yeshivas around the world. So their machlokas was the Shem Shemaim, and it is certainly is one that endures. However, v'she'enu l'shem shemaim, and a machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven, zo machlokas korach v'kodaso. This is a machlokas of Korach and his entire assembly, and because that machlokas was not for the sake of heaven, this week's parsha is Parshas Korach, so therefore, the machlokas did not last, if you will, And it is not an enduring machloka. So let me give you a brief overview of Parak Tet Zayin of the parasha. I'm just going to quote it outside. Well, the first pasuk is right here on my screen. Actually, you could see for yourself. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi v'dasin ve'aviram b'nei Eliyah v'on ben Palas b'nei Reuven. So we are told that Korach took, and we are given his lineage. He is the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kahas, the son of Levi, and along with him he got 3 + 250, one drops out, its own story. V'dasan v'aviram b'nei Elivim b'nei Aliyah v'on ben Pelas b'nei Reuven. So he gets people from the tribe of Reuven to join. They are Dasan and Aviram and on ben Pelas. And he gets 250 men, verse tells us, men of prominence, also Rashi says the majority from B'nai Reuven, to join his machokas. And he approaches Moshe and Aaron and he says, Rav Lachem, you have taken so much power for yourself. Kol ha'eda kudalim kadoshim, the entire assembly is holy, v'tocha Hashem, God is amongst all of B'nai Israel. Madua titnasu al kol Hashem, what do you pride yourselves, exalt yourselves over the nation of God, over the assembly of God? Avayishma Moshe, vayipa panav. Moshe hears and he falls upon his face, he doesn't know what to do. And I pointed this out earlier this week, that Rav Salvechuk says that this rebellion was unique. The reason it was unique is because Korach was directly trying to usurp the power of Moshe. All previous rebellions or complaints, Eretz Yisrael is not good, the desert's too hot, we're sick of the manna, we want water, where's the meat, Mitzrayim was so good, but it wasn't directly against the power and leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this was different because what they were trying to do was stage a coup and overthrow Moshe. Why do you take so much power for yourself? So Moshe doesn't know what to do, so there's going to be a test. That's a test. All the 250 men and Aaron, Aaron's going to take, and Dasan and Aviram, Aaron's going to take a fire pan, Ish Machtaso, they're going to put in the fire pan Ketores, the 11 spice mixture. They're going to put upon a fire. They're going to stand by the Ohel Moed, and whichever fire pen God chooses with a divine fire will prove that that is the one that is chosen by God. Moshe tries to reason with Dasan and Aviram. They're not coming. They don't want any of it. They come out standing. They are not willing to back down. And ultimately, there's a showdown, and the ground opens up, and the Parak Tet Zayin. Oh, this is very important for the purpose of the shear, the ground opens up and swallows the assembly of Korach and Dasan v'Aviram and their houses and their rechush and their wives and their suckling babes, and the 250 men are burnt in a divine fire. So that's a basic overview of Parak Tet Zayin. And the Mishnah tells us that this is a machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven, and therefore it will not endure. So now let us go back to Pasuk Aleph right here. We have the Yichus of Korach. Vayikach Korach, Korach took Ben Yitzhar, the son of Yitzhar, ben Kahas, the son of Kahas, ben Levi. Now you notice that it stops at Levi. Why doesn't it mention Yaakov Avinu? The original Levi was not a tribe. The original Levi was one person. He was the third son born to Yaakov and Leah. So why do you stop by Levi? It should say ben Yaakov. So Rashi tells us on the Chumash, ben Yitzhar, ben Kahas, ben Levi, below his kir ben Yaakov. Why doesn't it tell me when giving me the Yichus of Korach all the way back to Yaakov? Why? Shabikesh rachamim al atzma, because Yaakov asked for mercy. A tzaddik does not want to be associated with machokes in any way, shape, or form. Shabikesh rachamim al atzma. You could see the Rashi here on my handout. He begged. Yaakov Avinu begged for mercy for himself. Shelo yizacher shmo al mach lekotam. He doesn't even want his name mentioned. Of course, he wouldn't be involved in the machlokas. Yaakov Avinu has long passed away. He wouldn't even be involved. But he doesn't even want a mention of the name Yaakov in regard to this terrible machlokas. A tzaddik wants nothing to do with machlokas. Shenemar, like the pasuk says in Birkas Yaakov, bekahalam al tachid kvodi. In their assembly, do not unite my honor. So when Yaakov had nevuah, parak mem tesu bereishis, and when he said the Birkas Yaakov, he had a nevuah that there was going to be this machlokas, and he prayed that his name should not be associated with the machlokas of Korach, even though Korach was his direct descendant. Okay, so what does Korach want? He wants to break up Knesset Israel. He makes the people doubt the validity of Moshe. He makes the people doubt the kahuna of Aaron. He mocks the mitzvah of Techelus on tzitzis. He mocks the mitzvah of mezuzah on houses. He's jealous of Ali Tzof and Ben Uziel, his other first cousin. He was working for himself. He wants power and gedula for himself, and he's trying to usurp the power of Moshe. Yaakov's name is not mentioned. So, I see my mother-in-law, I didn't see her before. Good evening, Ima, welcome. So, I have to tell you, the following is going to be based on a share by Rabbi Zev Lef. Wow. Okay? We're going to have quite a ride here. So I don't want to screen share for now until I need to again. But what I'm going to do is on the chat, put the names of his ancestors that I am speaking about so you could refer to it while I am talking. Okay, so he was Korach. One second. I'm just waiting for my Hebrew keyboard to come up here. There we go. His name was Korach. He was the son of Yitzhar. In other words, I don't want to be screen sharing because it's easier for you if I'm not screen sharing to see. Yitzhar was the son of Kahas. You can refer to the chat or your chumash if you have one in front of you. He was the son of Levi. Okay. Let's go. So Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita says that Korach was the ultimate divider. Machokas, lechalik, he was the ultimate divider. He took something from each of his ancestors and he used it for bad. A koach for bad, he inherited a koach from each of his ancestors and he used that koach for bad, except from Yaakov. From Yaakov Avinu, Korach did not inherit or receive anything that could be used for bad. Korach did not want to join the community. He wanted each man for himself. Why do you take so much power? Kulam kadoshim, uvetocha Hashem. Everyone is holy. What do we need you a leader for? What do we need a high priest for? What do we need Eli Tzavan for? Everyone can approach God on their own. He did not believe in the leadership of Moshe and the kahuna of Aaron. He didn't want to join the community. He wants to separate from the klal. He wants to be poresh min tzibur. Lack of achdus means he was the ultimate divider. Why does a person want to be poresh min tzibur? There are different reasons as to underlying reasons why a person might want to separate from the klal. In the name of Korach, you see all the reasons why a person might want to separate from the klal. So let's start with the name Korach. Okay? Again, I put the names on the chat, so I don't need to screen share. You could also look in your Chumash and Perek Tazayin Pasukal if you want to see the names. The name Korach means bald, B-A-L-D. You ask as soon as Rabbi Zev Lev said it, I recall, if you learn in Tazria Mitzora, when you learn about the Mitzora, the Kacharto, Ubegabato, it talks about his posterior baldness, his frontal baldness, and where the Tzara'as falls. So Korach means, from the word Karach, which means bald. What does that have to do with not wanting to join the community? Baldness represents, and I don't mean to insult anybody at all, chas v'shalom, but baldness means a person feels that they're lacking something. They are inadequate. They may feel inferior. They feel they have nothing to offer. So he doesn't want to be part of the klal. So Korach represents the person who does not want to be part of the klal because he feels he is lacking something and represented in the lack of hair. That's the name Korach. What about Yitzhar? What does Yitzhar mean? We have it all the time, very often in Chumash, when we talk about the bounty and reaping the harvest. Yitzhar means light or oil. You have it all the way back in Parshas Noach. Tzohar ta'al salateva, tzadi hirish. Tzohar ta'al salateva, make a light. So Yitzhar is oil. Sometimes a person feels, the person who feels bald, inadequate, lacking, the name Korach, feels deficient. So he doesn't want to join the cult because he feels he has nothing to offer. He's deficient. On the other hand, sometimes you have a person who's the total opposite. He's a big balgaiva. He feels he's too bright. He's too important, like oil, to join the klal. I'm greater than everybody else. I'm going to join with the Joe Schmo. I'm going to join with the small guy. I'm such a great person. Like Yitzhar brings light. Yitzhar is something that adds to the world. And he feels that he doesn't want to join the klal because he's too important, too precious, just like fine oil, to join with the klal. What does kahas mean? So Korach, as soon as Rabbi Zev Lev said it, I remembered back from Parshas Tazria. Yitzhar is all the time in Chumash, and Yitzhar means oil. Kahas means, Rabbi Zev Lev said, it's related to the word acidic, like acid, something that eats away. Sands. Did anyone ever hear that? So not that I doubt Rabbi Lev, chas v'shalom, but I always like to go back to the sources. So I actually went to Google Translate and tried to find what's acidic and kahas in Ivrit. So keheh. Kuf hey hey means sour. When something is sour or acidic. Kahas means acidic. What does acid do? Acid eats away at things. Acid is something, if you pour acid on something else, it'll eat away at it. Sometimes a person doesn't want to join the community because they see everything in the community is toxic. But their ayin ra, Yes, that's exactly right. Haka eshinaf. So there's a certain toxicity that is there. This person sees everything in the community as toxic. With his eye and eye, he eats away at things. He doesn't belong in the community. He's unable to join the tzibur because he brings an acidity or a toxicity to the tzibur. And finally, Levi. Levi is a word that we all know. Achila shasiya levia, ata pamilave ishi elai. Levi means to accompany. So sometimes a person doesn't want to join the club because he wants to stand out on his own. He doesn't want anyone to accompany him. He doesn't want to accompany anybody. He wants to be all alone. He wants to remain alone. So Rabbi Zavlov said that in these names associated with Korach and his ancestors, by the way, Maseches Sanhedrin Kuf Tes, the Gemara also gives the reasons for the names of Korach. It relates Korach to baldness. The other reasons are very different. So this is Rabbi Zavlov proposed. And a person does not want to join the community, like Korach did not want to join the community. He wanted to cause disunity, dissent, division. Korach is from the world, let's recap, bald. Sometimes a person feels deficient, lacking, therefore he feels he has nothing to offer the community, so he doesn't want to join. What do they need me for? I'm so pathetic, I have nothing to offer anyone. What do I have to bring to the table? So he feels he can't join the community. On the other hand, Yitzhar, sometimes he feels too proud of himself, he feels too bright, he doesn't realize his position. He's the guy who's better than everyone else. He's the guy who's holier than thou. I should join with the small guy. Kahas means acidic. Or sour, something that is a destructive force. And this element of Korach brought a destructive, acidic, sour force to the community, to Klal Yisrael. And Levi means to accompany, because this is a person who doesn't want accompaniment from the Klal. I want to be by myself, which is what Korach did. I don't want to be associated with anybody else. So why wasn't Yaakov's name associated with Korach's rebellion, asks Rabbi Lef. Because while Korach was the ultimate divider, quote, Korach was the ultimate divider, as the name of his ancestors show, Yaakov was the ultimate unifier. So, and I'm going to prove it to you. So he couldn't bring anything from Yaakov to use towards his quarrel, because Yaakov was the antithesis. Yaakov is the ultimate connector or unifier, while Korach is the ultimate divider. Korach, bald, inferior, I don't want to join the community. Yitzhar, I'm too good for everybody else. Kahaz, you introduce an acidity, a toxicity into the community, a destructive force. And finally, Levi, I don't want to be accompanied by anyone. I don't want anyone to accompany me. I want nothing to do with anybody. I work for myself. I work for Korach. So he took something negative from each of, he took a koach from each of his ancestors and he used it for the negative. When it came to Yaakov, there was nothing he could take that was negative, because Yaakov was the ultimate unifier, which did not help Korach's rebellion at all. He was the ultimate divider. So where do we see that Yaakov was the ultimate unifier? Rabbi Zavlev, I'm quoting Rabbi Zavlev until I tell you otherwise, gave three examples. Number one, he said his grandfather, Avram Avinu, what was Avram's midah? Bal chesed. Avram was chesed par excellence. On the other hand, Yitzchak, his father, was gevura. Gevura is din. Chesed and gevura do not really go together. Chesed and din don't go together. Either God judges you with rachamim and chesed, hopefully, or with din. They don't go together. Yaakov took the chesed of Avram Avinu and the gevura / din of Yitzchak, and he unified it together to make tiferes. He was able to unify two diametrically opposing forces and make them one. And so when I was preparing the shiur, I came across something very interesting from none other than Mishpacha magazine, which I also quote very often. And this was an article written by the Mechaneches Misishani Mendelowitz. And Mendelowitz. So she writes, and this is exactly the Nakuda that is true about Yaakov. The ability to create something new, the ability to create something harmonious and something enduring, I'm going to repeat it again. The ability to create something new, something harmonious and something enduring from two entities that are often opposites is the hallmark of Yaakov Avinu. That's exactly what Rabbi Zavlov said in different words. The hallmark of Yaakov Avinu is he had the ability to create something new, something harmonious, and something enduring from two entities that were often opposites of each other. Avram's chesed and Yitzchak's gevura and din are two opposites of each other. What was Yaakov's koach? What was Yaakov's... Did I say Yaakov? Din Yitzchak, Yitzchak. Avram's chesed and Yitzchak's gevur din were two opposites, but Yaakov's koach was the ability to take two opposing qualities and make it one whole. That's a hallmark of Yaakov Avinu. And in doing so, the synthesis that emerges is a balanced whole, and it is called Tiferes, a thing of beauty and glory. So Yaakov's midah of Tiferes is actually the ability to unite that which is opposed. So what could Korach take for his machlokas? He was the opposite of Yaakov Avinu. Korach was looking for division. Yaakov was looking for unity. He was able to take the chesed of Avram and the gevura slash din of Yitzchak, and he was able to make it one harmonious whole. That's the first thing he united. Another thing he united, says Rabbi Leff, and now I go back to my screen share. Let's go, okay? Parak Chav Ches, his famous dream, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayivka b'makom vayalen sham kiva ha-shemesh. Vayetzi Yaakov mi-Be'er Sheva vayelech harana. Vayivka b'makom vayalen sham kiva ha-shemesh. He encountered the place and he slept there, for the sun had set. Vayikach me'avnei ha-makom. He took from the stones of the place. Vayaseh me'rash osav. He put it under his head. Vayishka b'makom ahu. He lay down in this place. So everyone knows the famous Rashi. Little kids know the famous Rashi. He took from the stones of the place, he put it under his head. Asa'an kimin marzev saviv l'rasho. He made it like a sort of protection, okay, around his head. She'yarei b'mtei chayisros. Okay, that's not the part of Rashi I'm trying to get to. He was afraid of the wild animals. Hischidu mirivo zo etzeh. The stones started to fight with each other. Now, Yaakov is not a person of machlokas. Yaakov is a person of unity. These 12, just like Din fights with Gevura, Din fights with just like Chesed fights with the Gevura / Din, and Yaakov is the one who is able to make it synthesize into one harmonious whole, his grandfather and his father's midos. So the stones are fighting, and Yaakov has nothing to do with Mechokas. His chilu mirivo zao is that. The stones under his head are all fighting with each other. Zos omeres alayaniach tzadik es rosh, vizos omeres alayaniach. No, so this stone number 6, says the tzadik's going to lie on me. And stone number 8 says the tzadik's going to lie on me. And they're fighting, mirivos, miyad as anakosh baruchu even achas. What happened? The koach of Yaakov is that 12 things of disunity become one thing of unity. What did Hashem do? Because in the schus of Yaakov Avinu, the ultimate unifier, he made 12 stones into one stone. And that's why the pasuk says, Vayikach es ha'aven asher sam me'rash osav. At the end of Perech of Ches, he's going to anoint the stone. He takes the stone that was under his head. What do you mean the stone? I thought there were many stones. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom. There were many stones, but they started fighting. And Yaakov is the one who puts an end to all fights. And what did Yaakov say? In his koach, he was able to take 12 separate entities and make it one. He was able to take chesed and din and make it one. He's able to take 12 stones and make them one. And ultimately, he's able to take 12 tribes, 12 brothers, and make it into one nation. So let's recap again. Korach took something from every ant. Korach's point was mechlokas. Korach does not want to be part of this tzibur. He doesn't want to be part of the klal. He doesn't want the power of Moshe. I want to be in charge. Every man for himself. Moshe doesn't know what he's doing. He took something from every ancestor and he made a negative. Korach, sometimes a person doesn't want to join baldness. He feels a lack. He doesn't want to join the community. Ben Yitzhar, sometimes a person, oil, light, feels too proud of himself and he thinks he's too good for anyone else. So he also doesn't want to join the community. Kahas, acidity or sour. Sometimes a person is so toxic, he destroys everything he touches proverbially with his acid or his sourness. And finally, Levi. Levi means that Korach said, I don't want to accompany anyone and no one should accompany me. Then we came to, I know this is not like regular Pirkei Avos Shir, but this is tremendous. We're expanding upon the Mishnah. I'm reviewing, I'm trying to make it clear. Bear with me. It's Mamish Ma'avti Sorasecha Kol Yami Sichasi. Stay with me. Why isn't Yaakov mentioned? So Rashi tells us he begged for mercy. He said, don't let me come into their quarrel. I don't want any part of the quarrel. But Rabbi Zavlev said it's a much deeper level. Yaakov is the ultimate unifier. Korach is the ultimate divider. Korach cannot take anything from Yaakov to contribute to his machlokas because Yaakov's koach is unity. Where do we see it? 3 instances. He was able to unify the chesed of Avram, his grandfather, with the din, gevura of his father Yitzchak, and make it one in tiferes. That's what the midah of tiferes is. Take two opposing forces and make them one. 12 stones under his head. He was able to make them one. I showed you the Rashi. They started to fight. That's the Lashon of Rashi, one another. But Yaakov puts an end to the fight. And what happened? They became one stone. And finally, 12 tribes. And what did he do with 12 tribes? He was able to make them into one nation. The ultimate unity. And I was saying to myself, perhaps that's why we are called, one of the reasons, many reasons, we are called the B'nai Yisrael. We're not called B'nai Avram. Even though he started and founded the Umma Yisraelis, we're now called the B'nai Yitzchak. We are specifically called after the third patriarch, because what was his koach? To take 12 divided parts, unique separate parts, and make them one nation, Am Yisrael. And what are we called? The B'nai Yisrael, the Israelites. We are specifically called after Yaakov Avinu, because we have to remember every time we say our name, our identity, what are we? We have to be one united whole. I was going to share something that I have to skip because I don't have time. Too bad. Maybe a different share, a different time. It is too bad. Okay, I'm going to say it. It's too good to share, to skip. I have to find it. It's a different handout. Oh, here it is. Okay, could you see my screen? Okay. So this is a Sifri from Parshas Vaschanan. My thanks to Rabbi Penner from Yeshiva University. My son attended a shir of his a bunch of years ago and brought home the source sheets, and he took notes. And I know where my son keeps it, and this is source is so powerful. The Sifri tells them, Parshas Vaschanan, Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Yaakov's koach to take 12 tribes and make them one nation. Yaakov is the ultimate unifier, so koach cannot take from Yaakov for his machlokas. So the Sifri tells us as follows, Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Devarim chapter 6, verse 4. Lefi shahaya Yaakov mifached kol yamav ve'omer. Yaakov was afraid all his life, and he would say, Oili, woe unto me. Shema teitse mimeni pesole. Maybe some deficient progeny will come from me, like came from my forefathers. Avram, he had a Yishmael. Yitzchak, he had an Esav. I'm skipping a little on the Lashon HaKodesh just because of time. But me, I don't want any pesoles, any, how do you translate pesoles? Any, I don't want pasol. When something is pasol, it's disqualified. Disqualification, I don't want anything disqualified. Chaff. Yeah, okay. I don't want any negative progeny to come from me like came from my forefathers. Okay? I'm skipping. Yaakov Davin at the end of Perech of Ches, which we already mentioned, that Hashem should be my God as he went to Lavan, that no pesoles, no chaff, nothing puzzle, no negative progeny should come from me from the beginning to the end. What does Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad mean? The Sifri here answers with a totally unique pshat. V'chein atam motzei, and so you find, kishen nifter Yaakov Avinu min ha'olam, when Yaakov Avinu departed, when he died, kara lahem levanav, he called his children around his bed. V'hochichan kol achad v'achad b'fnei atzmo, he gave each one tochacha. V'chazar v'kerosam kulam kechad, and then he called them back, and he spoke to them all as one. Amar lahem, Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. He gives the Birkas Yaakov and Perek Mem Tes. He's about to die, and he says to his children, Shema yeshdechem belibchem. I have to tell you something. When I was preparing this shir, I went to get the source, and I didn't remember the exact lashon of the source. I just remembered what Shema Yisrael Shema Kana Shema Echad means. But when I came to the word machlokas, I almost had chills, because Hashem was like, sort of had chills, because Hashem was saying to me, look what's here. This is all about machlokas. What did Yaakov say to his children? What was he afraid of? Is there machlokas in your heart? Yaakov said to his children, Shema Yeshlechem Bilvavchem Bilibchem Machlokas Amisha Amar Vahaya Olam. Maybe in your heart of hearts, you have some machlokas. You have some division. You have some questions for God? Is there any machlokas in your heart? Amrulo, they said, Shamanu, Kishem She'em Belibcha Machlokas. This is a proof. We can take this. Oh, this is not from Rabbi Zev Lef. I said I would tell you it's from Rabbi Zev Lef until noted otherwise. This next part of the shir is not from Rabbi Lef. But this could be a proof for what Rabbi Lef said. What did the brother say to the son, say to Yaakov? Kishem She'em Belibcha Machlokas. Just like you, Yaakov, are free from machlokas. Kach ein bilibenu machlokas. There is no machlokas in our hearts. Allah Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. So what Shema Yisrael? Hear Yaakov Avinu. Shema Yisrael, hear O Yaakov, our forefather. We declare Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is the God of all of us, Hashem Echad. Just like we are united without any machlokas, so too we have chosen one God. You get it? Shema Yisrael. Hear our father Yaakov, a.k.a. Yisrael, on his deathbed. They affirm that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They're telling Yaakov Avinu, do not worry. There's no machlokas in our heart against God or against each other, just like there's no machlokas in your heart. There's no machlokas in our heart. So what was Yaakov able to unify? We have gone through many proofs. One, he was able to unify Chesed and Din through Tiferes. Two, he was able to unify 12 stones that merivos zo im zo, the 12 stones were fighting, into one. Three, he was able to unify 12 brothers into one nation. And we saw the Sifri, and it's very, very clear. Kashem she'ein machlokes bilibcha, kach ein machlokes bilibenu, Shema Yisrael. Here, O Yaakov, our forefather, you can die in peace, knowing Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because we are one and united through your koach of Tiferes. We accept the one who God united God upon ourselves. Therefore, the name of Yaakov is not mentioned in regard to Korach's machlokas, because there was nothing for Korach to take from Yaakov. He couldn't make it negative. Yaakov is the ultimate unifier. Korach is the ultimate divider. He took something negative, Korach, his essence, ben Yitzhar, ben Kahas, ben Levi, but by Yaakov there wasn't anything you could take, because everything Yaakov touched was unified. And that was the opposite of Korach. Going back to Rabbi Zev Lev, okay? Whew, gets better. Why is Korach swallowed by the ground? So he gave a tremendous pshat. Very unique. When sand is unified and purposeful, when it has a common goal, you can make sandbags. And sandbags are used to protect against bombs. It can withstand the greatest onslaught, even the blitzkrieg. You can line the windows with sandbags. And when sand is unified, every grain works together, then it's very strong. But when sand is missing, I'm not a scientist, okay? When sand is missing some sort of critical component, when each grain of sand works for itself and doesn't work together with achdus, when it's every man, every grain unto himself, then sand becomes destructive. When there's nothing holding the sand together, it becomes quicksand. And what happens if someone finds themselves in quicksand? Chas v'shalom. They're going to be lost. Why was Korach punished like this, as Rabbi Zev Lev? Because he wanted disunity. He wanted each man for himself. He didn't want Moshe to unite the people. He didn't want Aaron to unite the people through the Avodah. He didn't want Eli Tzofen to unite the people as the Prince of Kas. He wanted every man for himself. Disunity. So we know that Hashem punishes Mida Kenega Mida and rewards Mida Kenega Mida. So what was he punished with? Instead of the sand of the earth working together to be a bulwark? Bulwark? Is that the right word? Bulwark? Okay, you don't even know what I'm saying. Wrong word. Instead of the sand working together to strengthen, to hold up, because when all the grains work together, it's a very strong entity. The unity was taken away. Each grain unto himself, and Korach was swallowed by quicksand. He was the ultimate divider, and so he was punished with something that was divided, and every grain works to himself, the sand doesn't cling together, and that's how Korach was lost. So the punishment really fit the crime. It wasn't just stam that the earth opened up and swallowed him. He wanted division, so he got division. He wanted to disunify people. He didn't learn from his forefather Yaakov Avinu. So the sand punished him in a way where each grain worked on its own instead of together, and he was swallowed up. Chayim Sha'ula. And now, okay, I'm finished quoting Rabbi Zev Lev. So I was thinking to take this even further. It's so geschmack. It's tremendous. Everyone with me? We spoke about what Korach wanted, which was to bring disunity, and the reasons that a person might not want to join the klal, as evidenced by his name. Korach, Yitzhar, Kahas, Levi. Why not back to Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov was the ultimate unifier. Korach was the ultimate divider. He couldn't take anything from Yaakov, negative. What did Yaakov unify? Chesed and Din. 12 stones into one stone. You saw the word Meriva in the Rashi by the stones. What else did he unify? 12 children into one nation. You saw the Sifri. What do they say? Just like there's no Mechokas in your heart, there's no Mechokas in our heart. Shema Yisrael, hear our father Israel, Yaakov, Vino, Hashem, HaKadosh, Hashem, Echad. What was the last word they declared to their father? Echad. What were they saying to their father? We accept God upon ourselves in Achdus, and we will live Ba'achdus. Why? So now we understand why he couldn't use anything from Yaakov. Why was Korach punished with quicksand? It makes perfect sense. It's Mida Keneged Mida. The sand, the grains of sand did not work together, which is what Korach wanted. When it's each grain to itself and they do not unify, you get quicksand. So he was swallowed up by the quicksand. So I was thinking to myself, and now we come back to our Mishnah. We're not finished yet. Kamachlokes shehi l'shem shamayim, sofa l'iskayim. V'she'enu l'shem shamayim, ein sofa l'iskayim. A machlokes that's l'shem shamayim is Hillel and Shammai. The parties cling together. You have your view, I have my view, but we're all working for the truth of Torah. So we will be the sand that clings together. V'she'enu l'shem shamayim, we're not working for truth, we're working for our own benefit, not for the klal. Korach v'kol adaso. So I was thinking to myself, why does it say L'shem Shamayim? This is very cool. Why doesn't it just say, Kol Mechoka Shehi L'shem Kiddush Hashem? Kol Mechoka Shehi L'shem Hashem? So Fali's came. Why L'shem Shamayim? So what's the goddess of Shamayim? What's the Koach of Shamayim that it's associated with Mechokas? So now we go back to screen sharing. Amazing. Mamash Torah is amazing. And there's so many secrets right in front of our eyes that we just don't even see. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rekia B'toch HaMayim. This is by Maaseh Bereishis. Elokim said there should be a firmament in the middle of the water. Vihi Mavdil. There should be division. Ben Mayim L'Mayim. In the beginning, there was only Ruach Elokim, Ruach Hafes Al Pnei Mayim. There was only water. Now Hashem said, you know what? Let's make a division. First, he made light and dark. And now God said, there's only water. We're going to divide, Mavdil, division, divider, between the upper water and the lower water. Vayas Elokim es Harakia. God made the firmament. Vayavdel ben hamayim asher mitachas harakia. Ben hamayim asher me'al harakia. Vayehi kein. God separated. There's that word again. Vayavdel. He separated between the water that was under the firmament and the water above the firmament. And so it was. Excuse me. Vayikra Elokim harakia shamayim. God called the firmament shamayim. We're trying to understand why the Mishnah says, Kol mechoka shehi l'shem shamayim sofa l'itkayim. Just tell me. L'shem Hashem. So Rashi says, is anyone familiar with this Rashi? Why is Shamayim called Shamayim? Three reasons. Samayim, it carries water. Shamayim, there is water. Third quality of Shamayim is Eish Umayim. It's made up of fire and water. She'ervon Zebazeh, God mixed them one with another. Va'asamehim Shamayim, he made from them Shamayim. So this is very interesting. Shamayim is made from two opposing elements that really cannot get along. Oh, I don't want you to see my last source. Don't look. Okay. Shamayim is made from two opposing elements that really can't get along. Eish Shamayim don't get along. That was the whole Pella of the Barad. If you have a lot of fire, it's going to put a little bit of water. Fire and water don't get along. If you have a lot of water and a little bit of fire, the water is going to put out the fire. Really, fire and water don't get along. So what is the essence of Shamayim? Machlokas. Havdalah. The essence of Shamayim al pi teva is Eish and Mayim. Eish and Mayim do not go together. Fire and water don't go together. That's why we talk about Malchus Bard. It was so amazing. Malchus Bard was so amazing because fire and water don't go together. You have two opposing elements to create Shamayim. How could fire and water go together? She'ervon zebezev asameim Shamayim. God mixed them up with each other and they made Shamayim. Fire and water don't go together. So the essence of Shamayim is two opposing elements that are really b'machlokes, but they unify for the sake of God. So what does L'shem Shamayim mean? L'shem Shamayim means, Kol mechol kashehi L'shem Shamayim sofa lehitkayim. Remember the purpose of this mechukas. It's really only to bring glory to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember the Shamayim. What's the koach of a Shamayim? Eishmayim. Eishmayim don't really go together. Eishmayim don't belong together. Eishmayim cannot coexist. Eishmayim are inherently two elements that are at a state of machlokas. Either the fire is going to put out the water or the water is going to put out the fire. But for the purposes of doing Ratzon Hashem, they put their differences aside and they live together. And isn't that the lesson of machlokas shehi l'shem Shamayim? Hillel could say one thing and Shammai could say one thing. And they still believe that each one believed they were right. Reuven 13b, but they were able to put their differences aside for the sake of God. Each one was striving for the ultimate truth to do Ratzon Hashem. She'eino l'shem Shamayim, like the Machlokas of Korach means, Korach forgot what the purpose of Shamayim was. The purpose of Shamayim is to teach us that two opposing elements must be able to coexist for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hillel and Shammai were working for the MS. Hillel and Shammai were working to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Hillel and Shammai were working to bring the truth of God to this world, just like Eish and Mayim that's hanging out in the Rakia up there are getting together and they put their differences aside, even though Eish believes he has this koach and Mayim believes he has this koach. They say, you know what, for the sake of God we could coexist. That's L'shem Shamayim. Kol machol keshehi L'shem Shamayim. Any dispute that is for the sake of heaven, like Hillel and Shammai, where they remember, just like Eish and Mayim could disagree, but they could get along for God, so too we could disagree, but get along for God. V'she'eino l'shem Shamayim, if you forget the purpose of Shamayim, Eish Mayim, if you can't put your differences aside to coexist for God, ein sofa lehitkayim, then the grains of sand will separate. They will not work together. And you will be swallowed by quicksand. Mida k'negen mida. Why was Yaakov's name not mentioned? Because Yaakov was the ultimate unifier. And Korach was the ultimate divider. Okay. Before I give you my final pasuk to end the shir, we began in the Mishnah. We went to Perek Tazayin Pasuk Aleph, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi, Vedasin ve'aviram ben Eli, Vom ben Palas ben Ruve. Korach, a person sometimes doesn't want to join, bald, because he feels deficient. Yitzhar, sometimes a person doesn't want to join, he feels too bright, too good for everyone else. Kahas, sometimes a person has such an acidity, such a sourness, he's a destructive force in the community. Levi, sometimes a person says, I'm not going to accompany you, you don't accompany me, I don't want anything to do with you. He took something from each of his ancestors and he used it for the negative. But he couldn't take something from Yaakov. Why not? Because Yaakov's midah is unity and Korach's unity is division. And that's why Yaakov's name is not mentioned, says Rabbi Zev Lef. What do we see Yaakov unified? A lot of important things. Chesed, Avraham Avinu, Din, Gevura, Yitzchak, Tiferes unifies two opposing elements. 12 stones, Shahayom Rivos, Zo, Imza, one stone. 12 sons, one nation. Then we went to the Sifri and we saw, Kashem she'ein machlokas bilibecha, kach ein machlokas bilibenu, Shema Yisrael on his deathbed. What's the last thing his son says? Hear up, our father. Hear, O father, Yisrael, Israel, Yaakov. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem belongs to all 12 of us, Hashem Echad. We're unified as one, and so we accept the one God upon all of us. So Yaakov's name wasn't mentioned. And then we went back to the Mishnah. And now we're trying to understand, what does L'shem Shamayim mean in life? Oh, then we went to Rabbi Zev Lef, the quicksand. Why was he swallowed by quicksand? Because the dirt lost the ability to unify, to be strong, because Mida Keneged Mida, he brought division. When all the grains work for themselves, he was swallowed up. Then we went back to the Mishnah, and we're trying to understand, what does L'shem Shamayim have to do with this whole story of Korach? And based on our understanding, what does it have to do? It has to do a lot. Because we saw that the whole koach of Shamayim is two opposing forces working together. Eish Mayim, they don't go together. But they said, you know what, for the sake of God, we're going to work it out. That's a mechokas, that's a shame Shamayim. Hillel believes one thing. Let's say Hillel is Eish. No, Hillel will probably be Mayim. And Shammai believes another thing. And he's the Eish. And they say, we each believe these things, but we can coexist because we understand that to work for Ratzon Hashem, we have to be one. We have to be unified. That's Shamayim. Eish Mayim. and you remember the lesson of Shamayim, you will endure. If you do not remember the lesson of Shamayim, Shalo L'Shem Shamayim, you forgot that Ein Shamayim could put their differences aside to work for God. You only want Machlokas for the sake of Machlokas, you're going to be swallowed up by quicksand. So I was thinking how amazing it is that Yaakov knows you have to be a Ben Olam Hazeh, but always keep your sights on Shamayim. Learn to get along. Learn that when there's machlokas, it must be for the sake of God. Learn how to make two opposing forces come together. Back to his dream. We've actually touched upon a lot of his dream tonight. Vayachalom. What does he see in his dream? Vihine sulam musav arza. Sulam mutsav arza. He sees a ladder standing on the ground. Virosho magia hashamayma. Yaakov's head was always reaching towards Shamay. Oh my gosh. I really hope Hashem Safas Tiftachofia Gita Sacha. It's a little late, 45 minutes in. I really hope Hashem is giving me the ability to give this over with the kavod and grandeur and astonishment it deserves, because Torah is amazing. The pshat is the ladder's head is reaching the heavens. But you could say that Yaakov's head was always in Shamayim. It was the koach of Shamayim that he always strove to reach that allowed him to unify divided parts. Rosho Magia Shamayim. This is the beginning of his career. He's about to go to Lavan's house. He's about to establish a family. He's about to raise a family. He's about to establish a nation. You know where his head always was? In Shamayim. What's the lesson of Shamayim? Eish Mayim. Eish might feel this way and Mayim might feel this way. But to do Ratzon Hashem, you make it a machlokas l'shem Shamayim. That sofa, lehiskayim. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. When I have a shir like this, and you just see the godless of Torah, the depth of Torah, the divinity of Torah, you know, how could a kofer say a human being wrote the Torah? It's like not possible for a human being to be smart enough to put all these hints into the Torah. It's amazing. Vayachalom vihine sulam mutzav arza virosha magia hashamayim. Vihine malache elokim olim viyardim ba. If you live with your head always in Shamayim, remembering that l'shem Shamayim means, I might have mechlokas, but it's for the purpose of unity, for the Ratzon Hashem, then you could be part of Knesset Yisrael. Then you could be the sand. Isn't it interesting that we're compared to sand upon the seashore? Knesset Yisrael is compared to sand. Okay, I could probably keep going on and on with more and more connections. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Hashem, for Torah. Late this morning, Shir Hamalam Eitzar Al Amayisar, La'asok B'divrei Torah V'Harevna. Baruch Hashem Shalom Sani Goy. May the neshama of Rivka, Bas Avram Tzvi, Allah Hashem, merit an Ali and the schus of the Torah that we shared. May Shlomo ben Sara Dina continue to merit Abasuros Tovas. He's a very young child, everyone. Please have him in your tefillos for continued arichos yamim v'shanim. B'suras tovus and nachas for his whole family. And may that, it's the 1 year yurtzeit of that baby that was born, sponsored by the family, take him back immediately to the olam haneshamos. But this chusim that I brought to this world through Torah is immeasurable. And we should continue to learn for only simchas. Thank you so, so much, everyone, for joining. Thank you for the opportunity to share this year with you. I just want to see if there's comments. Actually, let me just stop my recorder.